Good day to you. This is Greg Proctor of Gap Ministries. We're gathered here today to help fill in the gap, the void that's missed in our lives that only God's Word can fill in. Well, praise the Lord. I'm so pleased to be gathered with you today through this ministry of CD, of radio, of internet. What a privilege, what an honor it is for you and I to be able to come together and to study your Father's Word. We're going to look at a study today that I simply want to entitle, About My Father's Business. About My Father's Business. If you would, grab your Bible and open up to the epistle of 1 Peter chapter 2, and then mark in the Gospel of Luke, the great Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, and we'll be building as the Holy Spirit leads us in and from that very text, if you would. But while you're turning to the epistle of 1 Peter, let's go to our Father in prayer. Father, we come to you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Yeshua Messiah, Jesus the Christ. We ask for your blessings, your leadership, your guidance, your direction, your anointing in the precious Word of God. Amen and amen. About my Father's business. About my Father's business. This was a message that I had the privilege to be able to minister to in a youth service. And as I was going over these verses of Scripture and the Holy Spirit was bringing revelation to my heart, my soul, my life, I thought this would be very needful, being the time of the year that we're in, to share this message with you. And so I'm very stirred in my spirit in and from the very text that we're going to look at. And as you and I take heed to thus saith the Lord, I think we'll see some things, we'll learn some things that maybe either we had once knew and we've kind of let them slip just a little bit because the Word of God says we've got to keep ourselves stirred up. Or maybe by the unction of the Spirit of God, you and I know that Christ promised us that Comforter that would come when he went away, that he would teach us whatsoever things Christ had said, but also he would teach us new things. He would bring a remembrance, but he would be a teacher to you and I. And that's exactly 1 John 2:20, 1 John 2:27. That's what we're going to receive today, and I'm very excited about this. As we're getting ready to read our text, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 1, the Word of God says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. Desire the sincere milk of the Word, as newborn babes. If you so tasted that the Lord of His grace, desire that. Now, with that verse of Scripture being read, who is the Christian's example? Or who is the Christian's pattern to live their life after? Let me phrase it that way. And of course, the answer that you and I immediately come to is the very example of our Lord, of our Savior, Jesus the Christ. You see, our Lord and our Savior, as He walked this earth, He taught you and I in ways that we could understand. He taught His disciples. He taught those people that He came in contact with in the natural just from that. He taught them from the natural in ways that would point and would typify, that would bring a light on the spiritual, if you would. So it's salvation. You and I, we are born again, born from above by the Holy Spirit. And with that new birth, just as you and I were originally born in the flesh, born as a baby, now as we have heard, for God so loved the world. We heard about the love of God that He gave. He gave who? He gave Jesus. That you and I might call upon the name of the Lord, might call upon the name of Jesus. And the Word of God says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Salvation came. And so we were born again. So now as newborn babes, you and I, we need to have a desire toward the sincere milk of the Word, toward the Word of God, where we may grow up from infancy into what? Into adolescence, into adulthood, into full maturity to be able to serve within the body of Christ, to be able to be a soldier in the army of the Lord, to be a part of the many-membered body, Christ in the earth, our very names written down in heaven, named into the family of God. Now, let's think about some things, if you would, and let's be very encouraged. Let's be very excited about what we're going to learn out of the Word of God, because we're going to look at 4 points today. And if you would, mark these 4 things down. Number one, you and I, we are to expect growth. Expect growth. Number two, encourage growth. We are to encourage growth. Number three, esteem growth. Esteem it, appreciate it, understand it. Number four, express growth. Now we'll look at these 4 things as the Holy Spirit leads us and guides us, and we're going to come to the place where we're going to see some things, I believe, that will help us so much in these last days, and that will help us stir up that very faith that you and I have, that hunger, that desire to work in the will of God, in the plan of God, fulfilling our destiny in these last days, but as newborn babes. Now, I want you to think about this. I was thinking about patience in the natural. You know, as we were talking about how Christ taught from the natural to bring forth spiritual connotation. Patients who undergo, like, for instance, heart transplants. Well, after they go through that major operation, what happens to them? They're taken from surgery to recovery, from recovery to intensive care. They're in ICU for an extended period of time, differing with each individual according to all the circumstances that led up to the surgery and what happened involving the details after the surgery. It was all very personal, right? Yes. Some stayed a shorter amount of time. Some had to stay a longer amount of time. But as they were placed in ICU, they were classified as being in critical but stable condition. And that was the status. Even if the operation went well, they were labeled as critical but in stable condition. And the doctors and the nurses, they kept a constant watch over them until they became strong enough to be transferred from ICU to another room, each level where they could take better care of themselves, where they were becoming more constant in themselves, strong in themselves, the recovery process, in other words, the healing process. Well, as you and I, as we called upon the name of the Lord and we had this spiritual birth and we were newborn babes in the Lord Jesus Christ, we underwent a heart transplant. We received a new heart, a heart to know the Lord, a heart to work in the will and the plan of the Lord, and a heart now that can hear and can receive His teachings. But we have to have care. We have to have nurturing. We have to have the right amount of exercise. We have to have the right amount of strength conditioning. We have to have the right vitamins and minerals, the right medicine, if you would. And all of these things, they are a determining factor in how you and I are going to make it in our very walk, in our growth, in our healing process to be returned to society and to be productive. Remember, we're talking about things of the natural that point and paint a picture of the spiritual. So, you're going to come in contact, like right now, there's people all around you. It doesn't matter about their physical age. They may be X number of years old, but they may just be a babe in Christ. They may be saved for a very short period of time. And that's like in the youth service. You have some that were young, but they've been saved since they were very young. And so they were more mature, if you would, than others who had just come to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and asked Him to be the Lord of their life and this and so forth. But no matter where they're at, there's always somebody that that the Lord has placed in your life that you need to nurture. And you need to take care of them just like a person in an ICU unit. You need to be there for them. And that's the kind of the point of view, if you would, that we're going to have as we break down these verses of Scripture that the Lord's going to lead us to in Luke chapter 2. Because we're going to see, and from the example of Christ Jesus, He was born. Born of a virgin, born of Mary, as Luke 1:35 tells us, as the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary. before the conception, and she was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and I believe that's in the Gospel of Luke. Search it out in your home study time and see what you can find out of it, because there's so much meat in that. I think it's like Luke 1:35 or something like that. But the Word of God tells us that the Holy Ghost was going to come upon her. The power of the Most High God was going to overshadow her, and the very Son of God was going to be birthed into the natural by her. And so she gave birth to God, Emmanuel, God with us. And then he went on a process, if you would, of growing up, of maturing physically, maturing mentally, maturing spiritually. And as we look at his life, we can learn and some understand some things that the quicker that you and I get about the Father's business, the quicker that we can mature and grow up in the will and the plan of the Lord and see some amazing work of God come through our lives for his glory and for the edifying of the church and for the pulling in of those who had not experienced God's grace before. All of this works all inclusive together. Let's get into the Word of God, if you would. Luke chapter 2, for sake of time, let's pick it up in verse number 39. Luke 2:39, and when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned unto Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. So mark that down in your mind's eye. They are in Nazareth. Now, Nazareth, fully translated, means the guarded one. The guarded one. So we have baby Jesus with his mom, Mary, in the very family life of Joseph and all of these things. Here he is, and he's in Nazareth. Verse number 40, Luke 2 and 40, and the child grew. Highlight that in your mind's eye. Underline it in your Bible, if you would. And the child grew. Glory be to God, and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now, just as you and I understand this, in the natural we need to see this, but we need to apply it to the spiritual with those that have been placed in our lives, those that have been placed in our care, because you and I, we were not saved to live unto ourselves. We were saved by the grace of God, to be used by God, to help those people that are being placed in our hearts, souls, and lives. And now, note, as the child grew, and then he waxed strong in spirit, what are we seeing here? What's the image from the natural that is painting toward the spiritual of those around you and I today? There was growth physically, there was growth mentally, and especially there was growth spiritually. Now, in the natural, if you and I, if we had a child that did not develop, we would be at the doctor's office continually. We'd be right there at that office. We would be right there in that examination room. We'd be right there asking the doctor, design of him to use all of his expertise, all of his training to try to find out why this child was not growing, why it was not becoming mature. Now think about that. But as we look around the body of Christ, as we look around those in the church of the living God, this is the condition that you and I see in so many people's hearts, souls, and lives within the church today. No growth. No growth. We've got to expect growth. Just as in the natural, when that baby grows, when everything's properly attended to, when the baby's properly cared for and nourished and all of those things, that baby grows naturally. Well, in the same way, spiritually, when you and I are used by the Lord to take care of those to our left and to our right, in front of us, behind us, they will just grow naturally into God's plan. Now, that's the way it's supposed to be. So if there's some things that's going on in those around you, or if there's some things that's going on in your own heart, soul, and life, and you're not seeing growth, then you need to step back. You need to ask the Lord, what do I need to do in my life to see growth? Or if there's a loved one, or if there's someone that the Lord has placed on your heart, you need to seek him and see how you can help them to grow, because something is going on. There's an attack of the enemy. There's an eating or a partaking of junk food, if you would, or there's not taking care of what would make a healthy child in the sense of spiritually speaking. Understand what I'm saying? We're looking at the analogy. because there's going to be some that you're going to come in contact with. There's going to be some that I come in contact with that they may not want to grow. Like William Fisher, he wrote in his book, Don't Park Here. He tells about driving his car with his four-year-old son at his side. And he's talking to his four-year-old son. His four-year-old son, his name was Brian. And he asked Brian, William did, he said, what do you want to be when you grow up, when you become a man? Well, the four-year-old youngster replied, I don't want to grow up and be a man. Well, this surprised the father, William. And William asked Brian, why not? Because, said Brian, then I couldn't ride my tricycle. Now, I love this. Fisher wrote in his book, he said, as I drove on, I thought, I'm sure that I enjoyed my tricycle when I was four. And when I read that, I thought back, there was a lady, a wonderful lady that was a neighbor that babysit me sometimes. And she was the one that taught me how to ride a tricycle. She tied my feet to the pedals and she pushed it off a little hill. And by the time she'd done that, I had mastered the tricycle. But I know exactly what William is talking here about his son in this sense. But I feel just like William did. I enjoyed that tricycle. But William wrote, how much more I enjoy the power and the performance of my automobile today. And that's the way it is with you and I. You see, we need to enjoy growing up and the privileges that come with growing up. Many Christians today, they cling to their religious tricycles when they should be enjoying the surge of power, the surge of effectiveness, the surge of fruitfulness in the very automobile or the grown-up relationship with the Lord. But it's not there. It's not there because they'd rather just settle and stay where they're at. And so it's up to you, it's up to me to be sensitive to the Spirit of God and to allow the Spirit of God to quicken us to minister to those who are satisfied with second best, satisfied with just staying where they are. Because you and I, as we look all through the Word of God, God is the God of what? I am. He's the God of the now, the present. He's not the God of the past. He's the God that is always moving His children along in His plan, along in His will, so much with grace, so much with mercy, so much with long-suffering. But we've got to be in that place where we help them in every way. But now, what did the Word of God say there in Luke 2:40? And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Oh, glory. The grace of God was upon him. Now, what does the Word of God say in 2 Corinthians chapter 12? Very familiar verses of Scripture, as you have Paul writing to the church at Corinth. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 9, we have the Lord Jesus Christ teaching Paul. You notice it's red letter. And he says, my grace, he's talking to Paul, he says, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. So what did Paul say? Paul said, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Of course, this is where the Apostle Paul, where he had this messenger of Satan there buffeting him and all of these things. But even, and he besought the Lord three times that it might depart him. But the Lord told him, he said, my grace is sufficient. And as we look here in the Word of God, in Luke 2:40, it said that the grace of God was upon Jesus. Well, you and I, we are saved by grace through faith. And that grace is upon us. And that grace was sufficient in the plan and the will of God coming through Christ, rearing up a Savior, a Lamb of God, that would change the destiny of you and I today, because it would enable us, give us an avenue, a vein of forgiveness of sins, of being born from above, born again, a new creature in Him. So that grace that made that is sufficient. That grace now is working in your life. That grace is working in my life. And God expects growth. And God expects you and I, no matter where we're at, to be in the place that we help somebody else. Because there's going to always be somebody who is just a half a step behind you, a half a step behind me. And there's always going to be somebody who's a half a step in front of you, a half a step in front of me. And so we're either going to be being helped or we're going to be helping somebody else. Number one, expect growth. This is how we know if we're about the Father's business. But let's continue. Number two, we've got to encourage growth. Encourage growth. Luke 2:41. The Word of God says, now his parents, now highlight that in your mind's eye, his parents went to the feast of the Passover. Let's read through verse 43 and then we'll break these down. Verse 42. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. Verse 43. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But let's think about this now. Verse 41, it said, now his parents went to Jerusalem. Now, note his parents. This is so important. This is how you and I encourage growth, because I know we're talking literally about parents here, as Mary was the parent of Jesus. And legally, as we're going to find out, Joseph, in the natural sense of the law, was the parent of Jesus. Not the father, but the parent. And what are they doing here? They're living the word that they knew in front of Jesus. Because did you notice? The Word of God says, now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the Feast of the Passover. Every year. No exception. They went. And then all of a sudden, we're talking about a specific Passover. The Passover of Christ's 12th year. But we'll get that in a moment of time. His parents, they live the Word of God. This is how you encourage growth. You are a spiritual parent over somebody, whether you realize it, whether you understand it, or whether you accept it or not. And it's the same way with every blood-bought believer. Because you and I, somebody has seen Jesus through our lives. Whether it was by words or by actions, and it had an impact on them, or at least that's the way it's destined, because Christ set up the very evangelism to go two by two, to go one-on-one, you and him together, reaching the lost, reproducing what has been produced in your life, reproducing what's been in my life. And with that understanding, we know that we are a spiritual parent to somebody. And so we must see ourselves in that connotation. We've got to see ourselves in that image that we're a spiritual parent of a babe in Christ, and we have to live the word to where we've grown in front of them, where they can see that and they can partake of the fruit that is coming out of your life by the word, the fruit that is coming out of my life by the word. And here I want you to imagine in your mind's eye, as they went from Nazareth, the guarded one, to Jerusalem. Jerusalem, fully translated, meaning founded on peace. We're talking about, this wasn't an easy trip. This is a 70-mile, basically, trip. It wasn't easy physically, but they were faithful in their walk with the Lord. They loved the Lord. They loved the Word of God, and they wanted to live that, not just for themselves, but for the very child that was being reared up in their presence. Now, the number 70, as I said, this was about a 70-mile journey. The number 70, anytime you come across it in the Bible, in biblical numerics, means what? It means restoration, specifically with Israel, but it means restoration. Now, I want you to think about that as we're talking about the Father's business, because that's the business of the Lord God Almighty, restoration. He wants to restore you and I to right standing with Him by our acceptance of His grace through faith of Jesus Christ, that atoning blood, that redeeming blood of Jesus, the blood that He shed on Calvary for you and I. That's who He is about. He is about restoration, about restoring. And so to encourage growth, you and I, we've got to do anything and everything we can. We've got to make the distance. We've got to go the distance that brings restoration in people's hearts, souls, and lives. And what brings restoration? Living the Word, the commandments of the Word. In other words, this is a new commandment. Jesus said in John 13:34-35, that I give unto you, that you love one another. Love as I have loved you. This is what brings restoration. Now, you notice that it says that his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. Now, what does that mean to you and I today? The feast of the Passover. Lay your eyes on 1 Corinthians chapter 5, and let's just understand when we're talking about what the Passover means to you and I today. Let's don't get our minds in something that we can't comprehend that is for us today. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 7 says, "Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you were unleavened." Now, why did we read that? For the last part of the verse, 1 Corinthians 5, 7. "For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us." Verse 8. "Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with leaven of malice and wickedness, but with unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." Christ is our Passover, and he was sacrificed for us. And so he went up to Jerusalem here at the age of 12, but also he went up to Jerusalem in the very time of the feast. Understand what I'm saying? And he was sacrificed. He become our Passover. He become the atoning blood that would keep you and I from the place of judgment, that would keep the very weight of the sins of our life, the sins that would bring death, because sin brings separation from God, and separation from God is death. But while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God commended his love toward us, and that Christ died for us. There was an avenue of vain to be forgiven. Christ is our Passover. And so we see that this child was ordained to walk in the very reality of what the Word of God has set forth for him. Now today, with Christ being our Passover and we being forgiven, we need to what? To do just as they did. We need to live the Word of God in front of people. He went to Jerusalem. You see, the law at that time, the law of Moses, required that the adult males of the this Jewish nation, Christ being of Judah, of the very tribe of the line of Judah, and of the priesthood, if you would, Levi, should appear before the Lord. But now, they had three feasts that they celebrated. The Word of God gives us guidance and direction on that: Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. Now, Mary here, she wasn't required to come, but we see that she came with Joseph. She came with Jesus. She went the extra mile. Oh, I love that example, that teaching. She went the extra mile. And this is what you and I can learn from this situation. It helps us so much. But let's break down some more things out of this. What did the Word of God say? It said in verse number 42, "And when he," Jesus, "was 12 years old." 12 years old. "He went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast." Now, what does that mean? It means that at the age of 12, that he become the son of the law. He become the son of the law. He incurred, if you would, the legal obligation of living the law. It was his personal duty to keep the law. And from this point on, he even dressed the part. He would put on the very attributes thereof and have the faculties hanging off as a reminder of the Word of God. But Why do we see this? We see this because Jesus, he came not to do away with the law, not one comma, not one apostrophe is what we would say in English. He didn't change one thing, one emphasis on anything, but he fulfilled it. He lived it. He fulfilled the jot and the tittle of the law, and he was the Passover lamb that you and I might be redeemed from the curse of the law. You see, Christ, he was hanged on a tree, the Word of God says, and everyone that was hung on a tree was a curse. But he did that for you and I, that we might be what? We might be redeemed, bought back, purchased back by his life's blood from the curse of the law, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon us, the Gentiles, might become upon those now, with the opportunity of salvation and the fruition of the plan and the will of God because of what Jesus has done. Glory, glory. We're no longer cursed, but we're blessed. And we've got to encourage growth. We've got to encourage those around us to live the Word of God and to help those. And we've got to be an encouragement to everyone we come in contact with. We've got to show them Christ in what's going on. You see, Joseph, he paid the shekels to be able to redeem Jesus. Now, we're going to keep this in mind. It'll come in play as we move through these verses of Scripture. But I love what the Word of God says there. In verse 43, and when they had fulfilled the days, when they had fulfilled the days as they returned. Now, they fulfill these days. What does that mean to you and I? And this is the days of the Passover. There were 8 days in all. You know, there's 1 day for killing the Passover lamb, and then 7 days for the observant of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Mark it down in your home study time. You can read that in, what is it, Exodus chapter 12, down about verse number 15. For a second witness, you can read it in the book of Leviticus, chapter 23, verses 5 and 6. But I want you to note what we're talking about here. The days were fulfilled. So we're talking about 8 days. There were 8 days in all. The number 8 in Bible numbers, in biblical numerics, means what? It means new beginnings or new creation, new creature. We're starting a new beginning. We're starting a new beginning because of what Christ is walking in. He's fulfilling the plan of God, the will of God. He is setting himself up to be Emmanuel, God with us, the very sacrificial Lamb of God that would fulfill the plan and the will of God, that would make a way for you and I to be forgiven. And that's the business that he was about. And now that he has went away, he's gave unto you and I, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the ministry of reconciliation. That's the business of restoration. And that's what every believer, that's what every new person in Christ, every saved person in the Lord, that is their very foremost point in life. To bring restoration, to be about God's business, to be in that place. And this is what we've got to encourage each other in. So first of all, to be about the Father's business, we've got to what? We've got to expect growth. And if growth is not there, we've got to examine and see what's hindering, what's going on. We've got to encourage growth in one another and in those around us. But number three, we've got to esteem growth. Luke 2:43. And when they had, let's reread it. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. Now let's think about that just for a moment of time. They knew not of it. They knew not of it. This is important because when you and I are looking at things through the law, yes, they were obeying the law, and that was the point of time where they were doing what they were supposed to do. But you and I are to look at this in the dispensation of grace. We're to look at this at the point in time of now that Jesus has come. He gave his life. He shed his blood. And now we're living not under the law, but under grace. And so we can't see things through the law. We can't understand things through the law. We've got to see things through the very Spirit. How do we know this? How do we document this? Look at the next verse. Luke 2:44. Don't take my word for it. Study it in your home study time. The Word of God says, but they supposing. Now, how about that in your mind's eye? We'll talk about it in just a moment. But they supposing him, supposing Jesus, to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. But they supposing, this supposing is no idzo in the Greek. And what does it mean? It means to do by law. To do by law. In other words, it was their law, their custom. In other words, with Jesus, let's just put it this way, where we can understand, they had laid out the law to Jesus. And it was just understood that he was supposed to be in this place. Okay? Because we're talking about, he's 12 years old now, and he's come up, but they've come up every year, Mary and Joseph. And they supposed this is where he was by the law, by their custom, by their understanding, by what was normal, he was supposed to have been in the company. in the company. You and I, there's a separation that takes place. But they supposing him to have been in the company, and they went a day's journey, and they saw him among their kinfolk and their acquaintance. Now, what does this mean? You see, we're talking about a 70-mile journey, as we were talking about. But on the first day, they just traveled about anywhere from 3 to 6 miles. In this case, they went to the first place named Bereth, and it's about 6 miles north of Jerusalem. Now, they done this on this first day. They traveled this shorter distance in case something like this might happen. There was a contingency plan, in other words, in case somebody forgot something, something was misplaced, or in this case, an individual was misplaced. So, obviously, this had happened before, and they had made a contingency plan for that. So, this is why they stopped there. Normally, they would travel anywhere, depending on the people and the terrain and all of these things, anywhere from 18 to 30 miles a day. So we're talking about a 3-day journey, basically, is what we're talking about. But here, after this day, they have to stop because they supposed that, in other words, the law. But you and I, to esteem growth, that's our third point. We've got to be able to esteem growth. How? By the Spirit. We must be living and walking by grace, not by law. Because if we're walking by the law, we won't be able to see grace. We won't be able to see the mercy of God. We won't be able to see the things of the Spirit, and we won't receive what is happening. You see, this should have been picked up in their spirit, what was happening, but it wasn't, because they were still in the law. You and I today, by what? By grace, through faith, we are saved. And we're under the grace of God now. And we're alive unto God, spiritually speaking. And we've got to be about the Father's business. We can't suppose anything. In other words, we can't keep anything and view anything and talk about things according to the law. We talk about the grace of God. Now, here they are. They're on this journey. And they've got to find Jesus. They've got to figure out what's going on. But are they going to esteem the growth that is taking place in his life? Now, how does that apply to you and I today? There's going to be people that maybe even you are at one time a spiritual parent over. In other words, you bring the gospel, the good news, John 3:16, to them. You bring the understanding, and they accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And all of a sudden, boy, they just eat up the Word of God. They desire that sincere milk of the Word, and they go from the milk to the meat, and they're growing by leaps and bounds. And if we're not careful, if we don't esteem the growth that's in them, we will hurt them, we will hinder them, or we'll miss out what God might be saying to us through them. Understand what I'm saying? You see, Jesus, just being 12 years of age here, he had some things that would teach Mary something, that would teach Joseph something. Are they going to receive? There's going to be people who may be younger than you, may be younger than me. Are we going to receive? We've got to esteem the growth of God, the very resurrection power of Jesus that's coming up through people's hearts, souls, and lives. Verse number 44. But they supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, that they might, and that they sought him among the kinsfolk and the acquaintance. Verse 45. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. They went back to Jerusalem. Verse 46. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And after 3 days, they found him. Where did they find him? In the temple. After 3 days, they found Jesus in the temple. Now, according to the law, remember, they were supposing that he should have been with them. In other words, he should have been where they wanted him to be. Now, what does that mean to you and I today? If we're not careful, we'll won't allow people to grow and to stretch in the Lord. We'll try to keep them where we think they should be. Well, this person can't teach Sunday school class and been saved long enough. Let's wait a few years till they get some time under their belt. This person, they can't lead children's church. Now, I understand we're not to let a novice, we're not to let, the Word of God is very, gives us insight about deacons, about all of these things. and gives us time periods. But also, we're to be led by the Spirit of God and to allow God to do what He would do and put people where He would put them in the time period that the Lord would put them there. They found Jesus after 3 days and He was in the temple. What did Jesus say? In John 2:19, Jesus said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Here Jesus is. After 3 days, they find Him. He's sitting in the temple. Yes, this is in the natural. This is what's happening. But it's a spiritual type to show you and I something. Christ is there in that temple after 3 days. And that temple would ultimately be destroyed in 70 AD. But Christ talking about the temple of His body that He would give for the sacrifice of the sins of the world. He said, "You destroy it and I will raise it up." And so this is a type for us to see and understand that Christ, He's there in that temple, but He is really the temple. He's the one that causes people to ask questions. He's the one that causes the people to get excited. He's the one that gives people a chance to see things from God's point of view. Oh, that's powerful. Revelation 21:22 says, John said, "And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it." Think about this now. In the precious Word of God, He tells us that the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb is a temple thereof. Jesus, He is that temple. And as we see Him in that temple, are we going to accept Him? Yes, we are. Are we going to accept those that He is growing up? Because you see, He's going to grow people up and He's going to bring them to situations where they can teach, where they can preach. But for it to have an impact on our life, we've got to accept it. For us to have an impact on other people's lives, we've got to be willing to do what Jesus done. He went down and He sat down in the midst and He brought truth. He brought truth that dissolved tradition. He brought truth that broke out bondage and brought liberty and freedom. Yes, not literally in this dispensation of time at the age of 12, but ultimately at the age of approximately 33. This is powerful stuff about His Father's business. Verse 47, "And they all heard Him and were astonished at His understanding and answers." Oh, that's powerful stuff. Verse 48, "And when they," highlight this in your mind's eye, underline it in your Bible, "and when they saw Him," who saw Him? Mary and Joseph. "And when they saw Him," they, highlight it in your mind's eye, underline it, "they were amazed." It would be better if the word was translated astonished. They were astonished. When Mary and Joseph, when they saw Jesus, they were astonished. "And His mother said unto Him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold thy father." Now mark that down in your mind's eye. Joseph bringing Jesus there, fulfilling the law, redeeming Christ, Jesus, according to the old covenant, according to the law. She says, "Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing." Have sought thee sorrowing. Now, let's keep that in mind, what she has just said, and let's move to our fourth point. Express growth. Now, you and I, we express growth in two ways, vocally and with action. And as the old adage says, action speaks louder than words every time. But let's break these down as we close out these verses of Scripture. Express growth. Luke 2:49. "And He said," what? "He said." He said vocally. Jesus told them what He was doing. And you and I, we need to teach others what we have been taught. In other words, He was teaching what He had been taught. He was teaching exactly where He was at the age of 12. And so you and I, we can't let anybody belittle us. And that's like those in the youth. No matter where they're at in the Lord, they can't allow anybody to belittle them. They've got to be led by the Lord and do what God would have them to do. They have a powerful message because God has done a work in their life at salvation and then moving forward in the plan and the will of God. But she said, "I must be Mary's talking to him, said, "I want you to understand. In other words, when she said, why have you dealt with us this way? Why? You got to understand. I must be upset because of the law. You're doing something that is contrary to what we normally do, something contrary to what we normally plan, and all these things. Now think about that." And he said, verse 49, and he said unto them, to Mary, to Joseph, how is it that you sought me? How is it that you sought me? Are you seeking me through the law? Of course you are, because you don't understand what's happening. Because if you had sought me through the Spirit, you would have understood. You see, there's so many people today, you try to share with them the goodness of God, the truth of the gospel. And they look at you, and it's so sad because they try to reason this out in their own carnal mind. The carnal mind is enmity against God. And the preaching of the cross is foolishness to them. We've got to seek the Lord, be about His business in the spiritual connotation. We've got to help other people seek Jesus spiritually. Not seeking for a wonderful life. Not for money, not for clothes, not for just healing and all these things. Though Christ said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, Matthew 6:33. And all of these things, those preceding things about houses and clothes and food and all those things will be provided. That's not going to work. That's seeking Him for the wrong reason. We've got to show people how to seek Jesus correctly. How is it that you sought me, Jesus said. Now look what He said in Luke 2:49. Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? Oh, glory, don't you love that? I mean, Christ just gets right out there where we can understand it. I love this. He said, wist ye not. Simply it means, don't you know? Can't you see that I must be about my Father's business? Now, she just told him. What did she just say to him? Hey, behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And yes, Joseph, in the natural, legally, was his father. But Jesus spoke the truth in love. He said, no, I'm about my Father's business. My Father's business. And as hard as that is in the natural sometime for us to receive and think about, this is a perfect example for you and I. To be about the Father's business, we've got to do what the Apostle Paul wrote the church at Ephesus. In Ephesians chapter 4, we've got to speak the truth in love that people may grow up. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, but that people may grow up. People will never grow up, they will never mature, unless the Word of truth is spoken in love. If it's spoken any other way, it'll be a discouragement, it'll be a hindrance. But if it's spoken in love, people will grow up. And this is what Christ is showing us here, how to be about the Father's business. Verse number 50. And they understood not the saying which He spake unto them. Now, there's going to be some people at certain times, they're not going to understand what you're saying. That's why we've got to express our growth, not just vocally, but by actions. Because it's just like you have purchased something, a piece of furniture, a television cabinet, curio cabinet, whatever, different things in your life that had to be assembled. Well, if you're a man, most men, they'll bypass the written instruction and they'll flip over and they'll look at the pictures. And they'll follow the pictures and they will assemble it according to the pictures. Your actions are pictures to people. My actions are pictures to people where they can see. They, right here, Luke 2:50. And they understood not the saying. They didn't understand the words which Jesus spake unto them. They didn't get it. But what did he do? He went ahead for the next 18 years and he lived his life and from the Word of God, setting forth the example until the age of 30, until he come into the full-time ministry, and then he even more so. Luke 2:51. And he went down with them. Now think about it now. He done what he was supposed to do according to the law bringing an avenue of vein where you and I could be taken out of the law into grace. Understand what I'm saying? And he went down with them and came to Nazareth. Now remember, Nazareth means the guarded one, fully translated. But did you notice he went down? Nazareth is just about exactly 1,500 feet below Jerusalem. Now what had Jesus been doing? He had been about his Father's business. And the number 1,500 are to be exciting to the Christian. Remember that cube? Heaven? 1,500 cube? Think about it now. He went down. Jesus left heaven and all the riches and the glory thereof, and he come down to where you and I were. The Word of God tells us in the book of Hebrews that he was clothed in this flesh, you in the same flesh as you and I, yet without sin. Oh, yet without sin. This is the God that we serve. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. And he lived his life becoming that sacrificial lamb. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them, 1,500 feet. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. She didn't understand them, but she had them in her heart. And look what happened before her very eyes. Verse number 52. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. And in favor with God and man. Glory. Glory. He expressed growth vocally. They didn't understand it, but he lived it before them. And those sayings were in her heart. And at the time appointed, they came out of her heart, soul, and life. You see, the Word of God tells us, Paul said, hey, some will plant, some will water, but it's God who gives the increase. God's the only one that can sprout that seed forth. And when you and I are about the Father's business, that's when we see some amazing things happen in and from the Word of God. I want to close with this illustration. There was this 9-year-old boy. His name was Austin. And he's going to have his tonsils removed. Well, before the surgery, Austin, he got to talk with the anesthesiologist. And the anesthesiologist, he came and he was going to start an IV. And he was wearing this very cool surgical cap covered in colorful frogs. This 9-year-old boy, Austin, he loved that frog hat. Well, the doctor explained that he had two choices. He could either try to start the IV now or he could wait until Austin was in the operating room. And he would give him some goofy gas, as he called it. And then he would start the IV when he was more relaxed. So Austin said, Okay, I see what you're saying, Doc. And the doc said, what do you want to do? Well, Austin said, I'll just wait and take the gas. But then the doctor got up and said, okay, and started to walk out of the room. And Austin called and said, hey, wait. The doctor turned and he said, yeah, buddy, what do you need? Austin said, hey, Doc, do you go to church? No, the doctor admitted. I know I should, but I don't. Austin asked him, well, are you saved? The doctor got very nervous and he said, nope. Austin said, well, you should, because let me tell you, Jesus is great. The doctor said, well, I'm sure he is, little guy, but I got to go. And he quickly made his exit. Well, the nurse took the family to the waiting room, and someone, they came and they got Austin, and the surgery was done and over with. And after about 45 minutes of waiting during that recovery time, the anesthesiologist came into the waiting room, and he told Austin's mom and dad, he said, hey, the surgery went well. And then he said, hey, Miss Blessed, I don't usually come in here and talk to the parents after a surgery, but I just had to tell you what your son did. Oh, boy, Mrs. Blessed thought, what did that little rascal do now? Well, the doctor explained that he had just put the mask on Austin when Austin got his attention. And he said, hey, I need to say something. The doctor removed the mask and Austin blurted out, wait a minute, we have to pray. The anesthesiologist, the doctor stopped and he said, go ahead. And Austin prayed. He said, dear Lord, please let all the doctors and the nurses have a good day. And Jesus, please let the doctor with the frog hat on Let him get saved and start going to church. Amen. You see, this doctor, this anesthesiologist, he was touched by this. He said, I was so sure he would pray that his surgery went well, but he did not even mention his surgery. He prayed for me, Mrs. Blessed. I had to come down and let you know what a great son you have. Well, a few minutes later, another nurse came by. She had a big smile on her face, and she walked to the elevator there and hollered at Miss Blessed and said, hey, I got to tell you something about what your son did. And with a smile, the mother said, I've already been told about the prayer. No, she said, there's something you don't know. You see, we've been witnessing, us and some of the other nurses and some of the other doctors, and we've been praying for this doctor, this anesthesiologist, for a long period of time. But after your son's surgery, he tracked us down and he said, girls, if you've been praying for me and God loves me enough to send a little boy to pray for me, then I think I need this Jesus too. And he prayed and received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior right there. He was born again, born from above, a new creature in Christ Jesus right then. And this little 9-year-old boy, Austin, he had a part of that. You know, the Word of God says in, what is it, John 4, maybe down about verse 37, one sows, another reaps. That's exactly what happened in this situation. About my Father's business. You and I now, we're of the Lord God Almighty. He is our Father. And we need to be about His business. And the way we can be about His business is look at the life of Christ, because Christ said, pick up your cross and follow me. He said, if you're going to be my disciple, you've got to follow me. And so think about that. Think about the growth of Christ and think about all the stages in His life and put them to work in your life and expect growth in your life and expect to be used by the Lord to help others to grow. Encourage growth in your own life and encourage growth in others' lives. Esteem growth in your life and esteem it in those around you and express growth out of your life and express the growth that can come out of others as they take heed to the Word of God. Let it be. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I know and I understand that there's no telling who's under the sound of my voice right now. And Father, I just ask by the power of your Spirit that they feel love like they never felt before. And that there's a revelation of Jesus in their heart, soul, and life like they've never received before. And if there's any that are not in right relationship with you, I ask by your Holy Spirit that you touch them and draw them. And they come to salvation right now by accepting Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. If there's others who are in a place where they're not growing as you would have them to, let this word not bring condemnation, but let it bring encouragement to the fact that they can grow and there's an example, there's a pattern for them to follow, and let them be in the place where by your Spirit you move someone in their life to help them at their stage and move them on and on until ultimately one day we're all together throughout all the eons of time with you, Father. Let it be in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Oh, glory. About the Father's business. If we've helped you by bringing God's Word to you, would you help us get this Word out to others? Pray for us, and we would love for you to send us your prayer request. And if you need more Bible study material, we'd love to place it in your hands. That's what we do. If you need assistance in finding a local church, we would love to help you with that. If you live in our area, we would love for you to come and attend church with us. But there's one thing that you and I must remember, one thing we can't ever forget. It's about Jesus, the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word has been sin. It was made flesh for you and I. Remember, God's Word will change your life.